Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you GEICO has more than just great savings. Much more. GEICO has been around for more than 75 years, back when they were using Morse code. Sorry, that's just my sense of humor. What's more, with GEICO, you get 24/7 access to licensed agents on the app, online, or over the phone, so you can talk to them at night or in the morning. So forevermore, just know that no other auto insurer has more than GEICO. More power to you. GEICO. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Blog Talk Radio.
We send this out with blessings, love, and greetings in the name of the Most Merciful God. We thank you for tuning in, giving us another hour of your day to present truth. Truth to help awaken the dead masses of the original nation. You are now tuned into the best in web blog talk. You are entering the no-spin zone. Join us now on the number one platform for truth and empowerment. Join us on the Starting Question Report with your host, Rashid Hiram 1555 Muhammad and brother Ahmed El Shabazz. Greetings, everyone. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is Master Farad Muhammad in person. We forever thank him for coming and raising up in our midst a divine leader, teacher, and guide in the person of the most humble and honorable Elijah Muhammad. We greet all of our listener audience with the greeting words of peace, which means peace be unto you. We say, As-salamu alaykum. We have a treat for you guys. Yes, we do. We're going to bring this great sister on in just a second, but before we like to just tell you that we will not be taking any calls until after the sister goes deep into what she's talking about, because this subject is so intense that we don't want her to have to rush on anything she has to say. But before we bring her in, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us live on all of our other websites, from Hiram1555.com, which is the Hiram's 1555 blog, formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, facebook.com/Hiram1555, twitter.com/Hiram1555, Hiram1555.neen.com, and blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555. We thank all of you for joining us live and for those who will download us later, but we're going to bring in this sister. She's a renowned genealogist. She has a website, AmericanSlavery.org, and she is, I think her base is from Louisiana. We're going to bring this sister in right now. Greetings.
Greetings, brother. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for coming, sister, because the subject that we're talking about is such a great and hidden subject that a lot of people won't talk about. I'm sorry, but Brother Ahmed is here also. I didn't bring him in because he's going to be questioning also, and this is his show as well as it is mine.
Very
so,
good. Very good.
Sister, yeah, could you inform us, because I'm going to be honest with you. I knew certain things were going on, but I didn't know to what extent these things were going on, and when I found out about what you were doing and what you found out, it blew me away.
Well, it is one of the best-kept secrets in America. Everyone assumed that slavery ended in 1863 or 1865 as it relates to Juneteenth. But there was hundreds of thousands of people that were left behind on plantations. So certainly throughout 16 states and 27 counties in Mississippi. Many of them was kept in a system called sharecropping, pennage, which is involuntary servitude, where the person that lives on a plantation or place agrees to work and pay off a debt that they may incur due to seeds, giving seeds, a place to stay, clothing. You can stay on my place, share crop. You give me a portion of the crop. This is what I supply for you. And at that particular time, there were so many of our people that could not read and write, poor people in general. And so even if they would contest what was said to them or what they owed, they could not read, they could not write, they could not even challenge what was said
mm-hmm.
by the persons that owned the commissary or the store. There was nothing they can do. Many of these people was in political power, still is in political power. And so there was certainly no outlet. And certainly I would like to bring to the listeners out there that a lot of these places was in isolated remote areas, maybe 25 miles off the nearest road. And sometimes the nearest town is 45 miles away. And in some instances, these places may not even be incorporated. So there's no infrastructure in the very beginning that would somewhat mandate some type of order in that place. So it's a very, very real situation, and I think that many people can't comprehend it because they assume that everyone got off these plantations. But I want to turn everybody's attention to what they would call the freeman labor contracts. In 1866, many people, Africans enslaved, had nowhere to go. There was elderly people that was too fragile to move. There was young children. There was the elderly people, the people that was ill. Some people just could not make those journeys walking or however the travel may have been. They stayed behind. In order to stay behind, some of them, as young as 5 years old, had to make their mark, their X, because the contract that was put before them was also put before children. So it brings to my attention, for someone that never held a pencil, how could it be that they made their X? I don't believe that even in that, there's truth in that. I believe that the X was made by someone else who was one of the contracts, and so these children was bonded for life in contracts. So when they
given the fact that this is Ahmed, and good morning,
good morning.
Given the fact that it was against the law for slaves to even learn how to read or write,
yes,
makes
right.
that contract invalid, isn't it?
Well, now remember, now we're just coming out of slavery,
mm-hmm.
and so all the laws and statutes that was written was not overturned. You know, those things were still in progress. So if you have someone in 1866, okay, you're a free person now, so, okay, you're free. But what does that mean? What, you know, define what is freedom? You know, you have nowhere to go. You have no money. You have no food. You have nowhere to begin to go. So, you know, these contracts, okay, I read it to you. Do you understand? Yes. And if you didn't understand, so what you understand now, I'm going to make you X.
Right.
And so that bonded people in, it bonded those that was enslaved in a contract with these planters, sometimes the same plantation owners, sometimes different ones, you know, but it still was a bonding contract that in most cases the judges, the sheriff, and everybody else was there to enforce these contracts.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, that brings to mind, sister, the system that they've set up today, the judicial system, where most people are either on probation, parole.
It's still a contract. So they have always been clever with contracts. And so, therefore, you know, to look at this situation here, and I want to bring it to your attention while it's flowing through my mind, if you all would, because
mm-hmm.
like that, you know, in the teachings, I have to say it as it come to me. The National Archives is so full of records from the Department of Justice, the NAACP, Private Citizens of America, was writing on behalf of people who they knew that was enslaved, who was also Caucasian, but felt that there was great injustice done to people. Now, in my research, I found that there was 90% of African people in this country in my research that I have accumulated. But I've also found a small percentage of Choctaw Indians, poor whites, poor Italians, Polish, and Hungarians.
Mm-hmm.
And even in some cases, the poor Jews, some of those people there was captivated. They was captured from Ellis Island, and they came over here looking for what they would call that American dream and end up on turpentine plantations down in Florida. In the south, in Mississippi and Alabama, you have the cotton plantations, you have the timber plantations, and modern day today you have soybeans and corn. So those are conditions that some of the people, children who was held enslaved in Mississippi and Alabama, they are now what you call extreme impoverished slaves. Live in poverty, extreme forms of poverty that is in slavery itself, because they've been milked for everything. Many things haven't changed for them. In some areas, there's no libraries. There's no doctor's office. Not enough food to eat. The housing is inhumane for people to live that way. And so that's why the study of slavery is you have to follow the whole line of it, you know. And these are not courses that's taught in universities. I only know four people in the United States that can speak to poverty, to Penage and 20th century slavery. Besides, and I'm included to one in one of those four people, Dr. Ryan Daniels. I'm sorry, not Dr. Ron Daniels, Dr. Pete Daniels. We also have Dr. Ron Walters. We have Doug Blackman with a book called Slavery by Another Name. Dr. Walters' book is, Ryan Walters' book will explain the relationship between the NAACP and the Department of Justice. What was the NAACP reporting to the Department of Justice? Why? Where was these complaints coming from? Who was they identifying as people that was holding not just people but companies that was also holding Africans enslaved?
You know, on one of our shows, we exposed, I think on the eugenics show, we exposed a lot of those shows a lot of those corporations that benefited and still have been benefiting from the use of slave labor, like the DuPont, the paint company, Kellogg's Corn Flakes. You know, it's just General Electric. There's so many of them, that, but our people, or it seems like we're oblivious to what is actually taking place, you know, in, that directly affects us.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's the main problem right there, is that we want to pretend that we're surprised, and I don't understand that. It's not a common sense thing for me to understand, because anytime, if we think about it, how many of us went back? How many people from the East Coast traveled down south? See, there's still that disconnection. Now, most people that lived in Mississippi and Louisiana who traveled up to Chicago, Memphis, they know what happened in the south.
Mm-hmm.
And they know that they left family members behind. But it's selfishly, sometimes we'll go, as long as I'm okay, well, I'm not worried about that. I don't even want to talk about that. It's like an embarrassment to talk about what your family, how your family is living. I don't want to tell anybody I come from the cotton field, or, you know, I'm doing okay now. You know that facade that we give, but we know that we left somebody behind in slavery, and many of us did not go back to see, to check and see if everybody got off the plantation.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that was during the time of the Great Migration. Is that right, Doctor? Between the 20s and the 50s, when a lot of African Americans left the South, wasn't that period called the Great Migration? I'm saying that people that are not up on their history as they should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's up to the day, too, because there's still the migrations that's moving, and no one is really saying anything. Now, let's turn it back to the university.
Mm-hmm.
10 years, it's been 10 years that we've been telling this, the life experience of the woman who was held as a slave, her and her family. But for the most part, we've only had maybe two or three universities that have even talked, that even invited her to speak and me to lecture on the subject matter. So now let's turn it back to the churches. Very little there. Maybe one or two churches out of millions of churches. So how do we begin to open up the dialogue with ourselves that we discuss this? Are we still afraid of losing our jobs, our homes, our families being in danger because we will not speak? But the issue here is that silence is violence.
That's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Silence is violence. If you know that families are living that way, you know there's children in the household that's living in bad conditions. Just before I got ready to walk out the door, brother, and excuse me, because I was getting ready to go into the field. There's a family right now that's waiting for me to bring box fans to them because they're so hot in the place, and I almost forgot the radio show. But there was this one little girl that took a picture.
Hold up, sister. Hold on, you just threw one on me right there. Not about the radio show.
Yeah, let me just blow that back. Yes, my mind is in the field with people that need help. And just that quick, I'm so happy that your wife called and reminded me, because I knew that I had to go and see about those that are suffering. And I'm so happy that you did call me to remind me, because I was on the way to see about the people that I know are suffering today in this extreme heat. But there's not enough people in the research field. Who's in the research field? The ones who send people out into the research field is the ones that keep the history. Okay, we're not going to report this. We're going to leave. Do not put this in that textbook, because we don't need that. Let's put this. So when we go into these areas, we get our students to go into these areas. We go and check. We look at the areas where our ancestors and our family members came from, and we start to go back and do that history, collect the history, write the history, tell the history, then seek justice for it.
Mm-hmm.
Today in America, there is no reason for anyone to be suffering to this greater magnitude. There have always been poverty. No one wants to live without food, the basics, just the simple basics. Mm-hmm. Have we really studied what happened during the sharecropping period? It's called worse than slavery, because in slavery, when the laws was on the books for slavery, they had a reason to protect the slave, because one, it was a value to them for labor, two, money, and three, okay, I got to take care of this person, because if I kill them or shoot them or whatever, beat them up or whatever it is, but all those things did happen in the first place, they did, but some of them realized that, okay, this is my investment here. This is property. This is going to reproduce for me. But in 20th century slavery, when it was supposed to be written off the books, they could not afford anybody to get away. And so in some cases, they even killed people on these plantations. There's a book called Lay This Body Down. And this book was written by Gregory A. Freeman. And the book is the subtitle is The 1921 Murder of 11 Plantations, on 11 Plantation Slaves. And in the book, it talked about something that was so important that a man named John S. Williams, he owned a plantation in Georgia, and he was, you know, it operated largely on the labor of slaves. But in 1921, he knew that he had to have labor to keep that 2,000 acres of land up and everything else, so he started to deal with 20th century slavery, and he killed 21 people, 11 people on his plantation in 1921, and that's, he was the only person in history that was indicted that I found in the research. And again, there's a lot of charges that was brought to some people, but first of all, you know, some of them got a slap on the wrist. But it was a very dangerous thing for someone to get out and report that, because investigations could have took place. Now, J. Edgar Hoover was the U.S. Attorney General at the particular time, and therefore, you know, there was many reports came into the Attorney Generals of the local states. In some cases, something was done. In some cases, it wasn't. There was buying and selling of people. There was white men that was taking little girls and making them their concubines. And it's just one of those issues where people was being beat, couldn't get away, had to steal away through the night. And I know everybody heard those stories where the family had to get up through the night and sneak out, sneak away. But it wasn't an easy. It was not easy, and we're doing our own history a great injustice when we do not have the whole truth about our history.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, who is the main groups of people who are blocking individuals such as yourself from getting this message out to the people, to the masses of the people?
Well, I don't see anybody that's blocking. What I see is people that will not pick this history up. I don't see any blocks of it. I had some issues going on with other things that I can work that out. It's small things. I don't have time to entertain that. Too much work needs to be done, you know.
Right.
But nevertheless, the main thing is that we need everybody like yourself, and if you have any other associates and colleagues can help get the message out. So we need everybody. We need attorneys. We need research teams. We need universities. We need churches. I just want to give a shout-out to the Nation of Islam, who have always walked with me for 10 years on this story. From the beginning of the time when I met the family, the man that was living at the time was Papa Kane Walls. I called him Papa Kane. He was 113 years of age when he died 3 years ago. And I had the opportunity to walk with him for 10 years. And so Mr. Harold Muhammad and Mr. Akbar Muhammad, all of them joined me when I first called upon them when this story was being looked at by CNN and Nightline. People Magazine did a story. There's been some publication, but not enough.
Yes, not enough.
Certainly not enough.
What's the correlation between private prisons and your subject?
The parchment forms, if we go back to the parchment forms that was owned by, again, the sheriffs, look at the stockholders of if we researched and did our background studies on a lot of the information that, the systems that we have now, we will find that the same people are the same families that have always had involvement in private prisons and the parchment farms and the prisons and the stocks and, the list is, it's a connect the dots there and everybody's connected. You cannot have this system without having all the powers to be to connect themselves to make the money with the prisons. So certainly it'll be to their advantage. Now I want to bring it back to Pinnage a little bit. In a period of taking people as slaves, men as slaves, sometimes women but mostly men, they would build sometimes trumped-up charges on these men and put them in jail knowing that they didn't have any land, they didn't have nothing, and so they would go to these large timber companies and other companies like that, and they would bail them out of prison and take their labor from them.
Well,
for
sister,
years.
I want to interject on this. Does that not bring to mind this modern day? Well, they give us they put us on trumped up charges. They know most black youth and their families can't afford proper attorneys, and so the state gives them what they call court appointed lawyers who does not do their job. The people either have to go to prison, go to jail, work release, work camp
because of the money.
Yeah, and then you notice that all of these prison systems have been privatized, and so the people go there and they work for pennies on a daily basis, are treated as in inhumane fashions, and then they're given exorbitant prison systems for the same crimes committed by whites who most whites have the use of better lawyers or attorneys than we have. Does that not sound similar?
It's the same. You see, it is. It's not similar. It's the same.
I was trying to be diplomatic with it.
it has not changed. Follow in anything it says. As Sankofa said, go back and study the past. And history is important. Now, I'm going to tell you, when I was coming up as a child, I hated history because I didn't want to learn anybody else's history and didn't see myself in the picture. But soon when I became a genealogist for my family, this is how I started to learn so many of the different things I've learned right now. So in genealogy, you live in courthouses, you live in libraries, you live in attics, you live anywhere where there's documents at. And because at one time we couldn't read, we wasn't allowed to go into the attics. We wasn't allowed to go into the courthouse and ask for any records. We went there for two reasons, marriage license and pay taxes and pay bail bonds or whatever that is we had to do in the courts. But that's what we did. So we didn't go in there asking for succession documents, probate documents, slave inventories, all of these things, because we was taught that genealogy is a hobby. And I want to bring it to the listeners out there. You had your identity stolen away from you. You had your language stolen away. You had everything stolen away. You didn't lose it. It was stolen. Be careful with the language that we use. You did not lose it because you didn't lose anything. You had your language. To take somebody's language away, beat the language out of them, repress the language, suppress the language for years and years and years until you're forced. That's a system in itself. So Genealogy is the only thing that can reconnect you and start to learn about your family history. What plantations did my family come off? Where did they live? Who was the sheriff at that time? What was going on in that area? These are the questions. Why grandma don't want to talk about it? I'm not going to use the word grandmother because we call her grandma. Why grandma didn't want to talk about it?
That's right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, we're oblivious to the fact that a lot of us that are in the main states of the United States, we have ancestral connections to our brothers in Haiti and those former slaves in Brazil, everyone that's in the Western Hemisphere.
But until we stop saying, buying into that quote-unquote American dream, you mm-hmm. see, because that's not your dream. You don't let anybody tell you that you have an American dream. What is your dream? Mm-hmm. Everybody wants a nice home for their children, food, clothes, and shelter. That's a human right. You know,
right.
I don't want to get into civil rights. I want to just keep it on human rights right now.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, you know, my dream is to know all I can about me. My dream is to go back. That's my dream. My dream is this. My dream is to get back what you took away from me.
That's right.
That's my dream. What language did I speak? What was going on in my community? Who am I a descendant of?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's most important. Because why? Because in order to do that, I had to go back and look into these slave records where they sold my grandfather, Thomas Richardson, for $1,100 with his mother. Who sold him? What did they say in the diaries? What did they say in their business transaction? But we got to get beyond people, entertainment.
Right.
We must get beyond dancing. We must get beyond playing sports. That's not the only thing that we know how to do. So we have to put some emphasis on education. We have to put some emphasis on seek the truth.
Uh-huh. You know, they say when a person is blind to who they are, their culture and everything, they are living in an unconscious state.
Yeah,
and that's what. That's right. And that's what
I don't care how much money you might be making. You may make $100,000 a year. Okay, you got your Mercedes. You got all of this. But you're still a slave.
That's right.
To be free is to have knowledge.
But, you know, a lot of us, we don't understand when they put that title Negro on us. That means something that is dead or lifeless. And that is true. Most of us, we walk around in our own self-contained atmosphere thinking that we are, if we receive a couple extra crumbs off the table, that we can disassociate ourselves from the suffering. You know,
and that's the way it was designed. So when you find the systems with these isms, I got isms in my family. You got isms in your family. Okay, we done made it now, but we're going to look down on the others, and we left everybody else in these impoverished conditions. And we want to disconnect ourselves.
Right.
And through Willie Lynch, he said, divide by any means necessary.
And we need to do as the Marines say. The Marines have, you know, they have a motto when they go out on the battlefield. And their motto is, no man left behind. And that's what we should start implementing amongst ourselves.
No family.
No left behind.
Left
no
behind.
Family.
And everybody has a responsibility. Because when the day that is called Judgment Day shall come, and it is coming,
you can believe
you are not going to be exempt from not fighting to save someone else. You are here
right.
to be a servant.
Mm-hmm.
You are here to, because what you do for yourself is only what you do for others. You see, when we have the numbers like 54 people being shot and 11 being killed in one weekend in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
that's for everybody's problem.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stand up and save our children. Our children are dying on the street because they don't know their history. When do we start to go back and say, let's look at what they did with our women and our men and children? Now, I want to bring this here, and I want to say this in truth. We cannot have justice until we deal with the overseer.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk about the master.
Mm-hmm.
But until we deal with those that have kept us down in bondage by doing the master's job.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, for instance, just because they got the brown caramel skin,
uh-huh.
and the scripture tell us that a wolf will come to you, wolves come in sheep clothing.
Right.
You got to unmask that, because if you don't, I can't say brother. What's going to define if you're my brother and sister is what you stand for.
That's right.
That's right.
The sister hit it on the head. That's right. That's what we teach you.
I know where she headed with that. Doctor, are you aware that the man that you're talking about has on his desk right now an executive order to lock up and enslave unemployed black men and high school dropouts in the District of Columbia and sell them to corporations?
Let me tell you something, brother. Go back and study history.
Mm-hmm.
And if we go back and read what the Rising Tide of Mississippi by John M. Barry had to say,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
there was always a system. I don't know how many of us may be following these concentration camps that's moving up around America right now. What are you going to do with the poor people? What are you going to do with them when you say, oh, now the United States is broke, we can't afford to have no more poor people? What are you going to do with them?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got to go back to this. Speaking on behalf of what our ancestors with their third grade education
mm-hmm.
and their common sense mm-hmm. and their spiritual connection to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
When those men would gather together and build one house, that house was paid for.
Right.
They used the timber off the land. Mm-hmm. The women got together and grew the food and made the clothes. Mm-hmm. They was the most self-sufficient persons that we can ever meet. But you see, we got embarrassed by that old pickup green truck with the beans on it with the rusty holes in it.
Mm-hmm.
But that same truck and the same quilted handmade with the rags
yes.
put us through college, and so now we become so educated. Oh, boy, what did we do? I don't know if it was good or bad.
Hey.
But in most cases, we made it bad because now we think we're better than everybody.
We become arrogant in our ignorance.
And then we incorporate ourselves into a system that never wanted you in the first place.
Say that again, sister. Say that. Repeat what you just said.
Now, this is the truth. Why are we trying to incorporate ourselves with people who don't want anything to do with us?
Mm.
Does it make it right or does it make it better? And now we find ourselves with our children 75% in prisons.
Mm-mm-mm.
We find our daughters out here turning tricks at night, sometimes just to feed their babies.
Mm-hmm.
And we find the church is collecting money, and nothing is being built.
Mm-hmm.
But another jet and another suit for a preacher to go and do what?
Hmm. Those are good questions.
And if people need to ask those and get answers.
To do what? With all the churches, we got this many problems in our community?
Mm-hmm.
Every block, every other block is a church, a pawn shop, and a bail bondsman.
AIDS is as rampant in our community.
Mm-hmm. Man-made disease, by the way.
So here we go, because we don't know our history.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know that slavery didn't even end and still have an end. The question is, when would it end? It's not going to end until you stand up and fight for your freedom, die for your freedom, live for your freedom, because it's something when a man is too afraid to live, but a man is too afraid to die.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am. You made a good point here.
But the children are dying.
Yeah, on a daily basis.
On a daily, the baby is not afraid to die. But here you are, and I got to say this to my brothers. We need to see some real men come through here.
Mm-hmm.
Take off those shorts with the tags still on it. And the hats with the tags still on it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not dealing with any retarded people here. Something is wrong with that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, praise be to Allah.
And quit basing your manhood upon your penis.
Right.
Sister? You're hitting the nails on the head with this stuff.
Go
That's
back
right.
and be a father to your children. You laid there with five women and made them your queen. Now you got five children out here. Take care of those babies.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And sister, stop fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Because we're in trouble as a people.
Uh-huh.
And this
and
solution
it's gonna take
that
all of us.
It's going to take all of us to clean this mess up.
You know,
in truth and honest. Then that's when there will be no more slaves.
You said something earlier, and we talk on these issues all the time, and you were saying, why do we want to integrate in a system that never wanted us in the first place?
In the first place.
And it seems to me,
not good enough? Okay.
What's amazing to me is this. We keep trying to do the same thing over and over and over again, trying to get into their society when we have qualified people amongst ourselves. If we would just unite with self, we can build for self and do for self.
When you go to the red light, when you open your refrigerator door,
when you put your hands on the knob,
you understand what I'm saying?
All of those are invented by black people.
The lawnmower, and I can name a whole lot of other things that you use every day. You already had it. But see, it's like they say the old folks used to say. You're too busy looking in somebody else's backyard.
Yeah.
And it's already in your backyard.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Professor, you made a good point. You stated that slavery never ended.
It never ended. And
even with the Constitution, I'm reading Amendment 13.
Go ahead, brother.
All right. Section 1, Amendment 13, for those black people that think slavery ended. And for those white people that are listening, that think slavery ended. Section 1, Amendment 13, neither slavery nor involuntary servitude except as punishment. That's the key word, except as punishment for crime whereof the party shall be truly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any place subject to their jurisdiction. The key word in that lingo, lawyer lingo is the word except.
Oh, it's another key word. It's some more key words up in there. When it said that you can be enslaved if you are convicted, rightfully or wrongfully,
of a crime.
That's why 75% of our people are in jail on parole, on house arrest, every other thing. We get the most. I put it like this. My heart is so filled right now with so much hurt because we see these things as a people, yet we walk away from them trying to pretend like it does not affect us. We did an article on our Hiram 1555 blog where, you know, the boule, Clarence Thomas, who turned his back to his own people and gave us his butt to kiss when he got put up into the office. Now he is feeling the effects of being black. He thought if he'd get him a white woman, get accepted in these positions of power and get his pats on the back, that he would be exempt from the treatment that we all get treated every day. Well, yesterday he was in outrage because his nephew was beaten up and tased because they didn't know it was his nephew.
In West Jeff Hospital in Louisiana, yes.
And see, we keep telling people, regardless of how high you ascend in this society, it's a controlled ascension when you're not doing something for your own people. And nobody, no one person can escape the position that we're all in. No one person can do that. We got to rise as a people together. We got to put down some elbow grease and do this thing and build for self. That's the only way. We say we want freedom. We want justice. We want equality. Well, we can't not claim to be equal if the people who run this country own everything. You can't say that you're equal with your landlord. We got to have something for self. If we don't have something for self, we're still servitude slaves.
According to the NAACP files, in 1900, we owned 15.1 acres of land. 2010, we're down to less than 1.3.
See, the statistics.
Yep, going backwards, huh? Going backwards.
Now, let's go here.
Mm-hmm.
In 1870, prior to 1870, we was not listed in the U.S. Census. We was listed as slaves, and that's what we was listed as, not by name, just by gender. In 1870. Almost 80% of the households was headed by black men.
Mm-hmm.
1930, you still had a large percentage, and a lot of the women that didn't have their husbands in the house was widows at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the movement came, 1940, 1950, 1960, more men started to be removed out of the house. Now, the census clearly showed how many people, even in 1880, my great-great-grandfather, inclusive to this, he purchased 200 acres of land at 50 cents an acre. He couldn't read, not him or his son could read, but they was able to do that. We have to go back and look at what made our ancestors be so prosperous and heal us with all the education that we're supposed to have and knowledge that we're supposed to have and technology. We're doing worse than them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Professor, I believe one of the reasons why we are going backwards is because we have so-called integrated ourselves into American society. When we were separated or segregated, even though it was on the white man's terms, we were forced to be more united as a community for our own survival.
That's right.
And more creative
and
to
more
build
creative
jobs too. For self and sustainability, because when we were segregated or separated in this apart in their apartheid system, we showed ingenuity, we showed creativity. You know, mama could take one piece of bread and a chicken and make it last for a week. You understand? Everybody got involved in the building for family. Everybody got involved, even the neighborhoods got involved
right.
in doing for self. And you and everyone in your neighborhood you knew.
That's
you
right.
know, now, like, today, if you say something to somebody's child, now they'll come down and shoot you in your front yard.
But see, we allowed it to happen. Now, let's go here for a moment. When that happened, it's because the children knew the difference between adults and children. See,
right.
now the adults, none of us want to get old. See, I let my gray hair come through for beautiful reasons. One, this is where I am in my life. And I'm not going to buy any dye to impress anybody. This
right.
is who I am. I want the children to look at me and see Mother Antoinette. You
mm-hmm.
understand? See wisdom. I can't. Now, when I was 20, I did the things that a girl would do at 20 years old. But
right.
see, now at almost 50, I can't do those same things. So I'm not here to be on the level with the children. I'm here to help lead the children. I'm a mother figure. I am a mother. So I'm a grandmother. So I'm not going to go out here and put on a miniskirt and compete with my daughter and do these things because she's coming to me as leadership.
Right, right.
That's what we had. Now, I remember when my grandmother and them came up, my uncle and them came up, now looking at it now, they was only in their 20s, but I thought they was in their 40s or 50s because
Me
the
too.
Respect of a child to an adult was so defined.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yep, sister, you're right. You're 100% right on this.
It was defined. And so we have dropped the ball. Why? Because we got more stuff going on. Our relatives wouldn't even do certain things around the children. Things didn't happen. So now it's okay for children at 5 years old to have a tattoo. It's okay for little girls 3 years old to wear fingernail polish. See,
mm-hmm.
these are the things that I'm saying we're dropping the ball on because nobody is saying nothing. I haven't met no one yet on the street. And I done been through some rough neighborhoods where they would say, these are the real thugs, and I tell you one thing, I get more respect because it's not because they are waiting, these children are waiting for a word from us. They're waiting for a hug. They're waiting for somebody to say, I care. They're waiting for somebody to give them a strong word, son, daughter, come here, let me tell you something. I'm here. This is where we dropped the ball at. When I say that generation of danger wasn't the babies, it ain't the babies. They found us here. And I don't care what go on in this world, some things we not supposed to be partake in because we supposed to come out of Babylon
mm-hmm.
when she does these things. Leave her have her festivities. If she want to do this, let her do that. That doesn't mean that we need to be doing that. At one time, you only saw white girls that were dressed naked and walked down. Now, look at our women now. Wearing
right.
pajamas in the street, pajamas in the stores. What does that say? So slavery is still in all the mindset.
That's right. Mental.
It's a mental thing when our young men do not know how to go and how to dress appropriate for whatever it may be. Of course, there's always going to be jobs. But in most cases, some of them don't even know how to dress to go look for the job or to apply for a job.
Mm-hmm.
They can't mm-hmm. get driver's license. They have backlogs of child support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All these different things. And until we tell the truth about these things that we need to deal with, we can't clean it up.
Right. Sister, we want to have you anytime you would like to be on our show. You are so welcome anytime. If you like to write articles on our web blog, you are so welcome to do so, to get this truth out. And I mean, we have thousands of viewers to our web blog each month, so I mean, you're welcome to write on it. And we just appreciate a sister like you doing these things. We're not going to keep you any longer. Something came to mind. I know we have about 14 more minutes with you, but sister, something came to mind when you said it earlier that you were on your way out to check on that family that was out there that needed
family.
A box.
Family.
Please.
When tell you. I have some pictures that I'll be posting, and brother, I would love for you to send, if you can email me. Let me put my email address out there for anyone, and certainly I just want to say that the Nation of Islam, Minister Louis Farrakhan, will be speaking tomorrow on the second part of 20th century slavery, and I just want to give a shout-out to all the brothers and sisters in the nation who is working, they are working dedicatedly with me to make sure that we take care of those that left behind their roots. I mean, they're doing the legwork, they're doing the footwork. But let me say, my email address is afrigenah@yahoo.com. My phone number, area code 504-858-4658. Brother, I would like for both of you all to email me because I'm going to go in the field now, and I want to send you all some pictures. Well, when I send you this picture, you're not going to go, you're not going to know if they are in Haiti or some parts of Africa that's really, really impoverished. But this is right here in Louisiana.
Okay, sister, we really appreciate you, and we love you, and we got your back, sister. Anytime you need us, we're right here for you. We love you. Go handle your business, sister. We thank you.
And I
thank you so
you all
much
for having me, and may you all be blessed.
You
thank
too,
you
sister.
So much.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Huh?
We told you we had a treat for you guys, and this is bananas. I want to address something that she said.
Mm-hmm.
For the people who think that we attack certain members of the Nation of Islam, did you not see that we freely allow her to even bring up Minister Louis Farrakhan? We have no beef with nobody.
Right.
You know, I wanted to address that because some people think that we attack these people. We tell people we don't bring up anyone's name unless it's in defense of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That's it. And we want everyone to know that these things that she was talking about, we address on almost every show that we have, from the building of family to the what we did, the making of woman. Then we had one called the relationship, the making
mm-hmm.
of man. Do for self, economic empowerment. We must separate. Go back and look at the whole show. This is our 102nd show. We talk on these issues all the time. Maybe you'll see now that we are trying. We're working hard to get these facts out to you guys, regardless of what. Also, I want to say this before it slips my mind. I believe next week on the 15th, I'm not sure. I think it's the 15th. Either the 15th, it's between the 15th and the 20th, but I believe it's the 15th. We will have Professor Dorothy Fardan back with us, and she'll be talking about some certain things that are happening. She'll also be letting you know about her Sojourner Truth Farm School. Now, listen, there's no excuse for us black people, whether we're in the church or what have you, not to do something for self. Ms. Fardan took her money and her land and build a farm school named Sojourner Truth, where she teaches black people how to go to the land and farm, because that is going to be the only way to sustain yourself and become independent. Now, it's taking a person of white skin to teach you that. It's amazing. Put down the jewelry. Sister, stop going spending $70, $80 on your hairstyle. Brother, stop paying $200 for some shoes that you can't afford. Put this money away, and then when you have enough, go purchase you an acre of land or a third of an acre of land, or let's put it in a savings account and let's do something for the entire black nation in America.
Right.
Something's got to give. Either, listen, the time is fast approaching that you're going to either do something for self or you're going to regret having that opportunity and turning your back on it. I want what I'm talking about is the headlines. Look, U.S. government shuts down four more banks, bringing total for the year to 90. That means probably 900 to over 1,000 banks have been closed. Listen, now you know it's bad. How can you go when you're making $300, $400, $500 a week, you go and afford some $200 shoes when, check this headline right here up under it. Biggest defaulters on mortgages in U.S. are said to be the rich. Now, if the rich can't afford to keep their house, how the hell can you afford to buy some $200 shoes?
Yeah, see, they were able to get those million-dollar houses, brother, and can't afford them. You know what I'm saying?
And when you,
they were getting those five. They were getting those five, six, seven hundred thousand, $1 million homes. The banks were just giving it to them because they had white skin.
Right.
And they were hustling, and they were able to make their mortgage. Once upon a time, not too long ago. Now what?
And do you understand when you?
Oh yeah.
I tell the people, please let's try to save a little money. Do you know if at all possible, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the government taxes us, so we should tax ourselves to keep from being in a position on a day of want. We'll go. We'll find reasons to spend the few dollars that we have. Do you know if you taxed yourself and you got paid on a weekly basis and you taxed yourself $30 a week, within a month you'll have $120. Within a year you'll have over $1,000 saved. This is thing that we need to look at, because this economy is collapsing. And when you are constantly struggling to pay your bills, you say, well, I don't have any money for myself. Well, tax yourself. Let something go. You don't need cable TV.
Mm-mm.
You understand what I'm saying? You don't need all the channels on your cable TV. Tax yourself, because it's going to come a day when you're going to wish like hell you had taxed yourself, because this thing is about to come down. I'm reading headlines. I'm keeping these headlines behind closed doors, and I'm reading them, and it's amazing that on just the headlines in themselves. Listen to what even the white man says this. Check this article out right here, headline. As United States collapses, media worships LeBron James. You remember what the sister just said? Listen, you remember what the sister just said? They got our mind on sport and play. We
right.
do more than jump and leap and run, but they got our mind so intertwined in MMA and boxing and basketball and track and field and all this stuff. While America collapses, as the United States collapses, media worship LeBron James. Now, these are white people telling you this stuff.
Yeah, they're telling you that America is collapsing, right?
Right.
And that, but they worried about the brother who's 24 years old, whether he's going to go to Cleveland or stay in Cleveland or go to Miami. Because guess what? Those cities that he goes to, whichever one he went to, they're going to profit from him. He's being pimped. That's what the big issue is about. Money, 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 and sport and play. And idol worship. They call him what? King James?
and you know, again, we're trying to make you better than see.
Our priorities are really messed up, brother.
Yeah. I mean, and think, if these people are telling you that America, that the U.S. collapses. Okay, now, if the U.S. collapses and you are dependent upon the U.S. for your job, what's going to happen to you and your family?
That's it.
Huh? Do you hear what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, Mr. James, they got him in spotlight, right?
Yeah.
They're talking about how much money he is going to make.
Right.
What they're not saying behind that is we're in a deflationary condition in America. And soon the dollar will be no more. So it doesn't matter how many zeros they add to his bank account or how many fiat dollars that they give him. If it ain't worth nothing, it don't mean nothing.
Right.
We better get our minds right. I tell you that much. You better get your mind right on these issues, and we got to start doing for self. We got to unite. You can't say we can't do nothing. Brother Ahmed and myself, we've set up places where you can advertise on our site to bring in money. We don't use the money for ourselves. We're trying to get some land so that we can have something for ourselves in this great day of want that is getting ready to come up. They're telling you about the rice crop around the world, which is the staple food, saying that there's going to be droughts. There's going to be all types of things taking place. Yet, you hear these things, you listen to us, and then you take it with stride and you go right back out there and go do something else. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said it's going to come a day where you're going to have to pay the cost for this now.
That's right.
It's going to come a day. And when you come to me and Ahmed and the brotherhood that's around us talking about giving you something to eat, man, I ain't going to tell you what's going to happen. But believe me, you won't get nothing that you're talking about because it's getting bad, brother. It's getting real bad out here. And you can see it, the food lines, the hunger lines are growing daily. People are losing their houses, you know, especially we black people who work from a week-to-week paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
If you get laid off, it takes unemployment, 45 days to 2 months to approve you?
Sometimes, brother, 3 months.
You outdoors. If you work on a week-to-week paycheck or every 2 weeks and you barely make it ends meet and then you lose your job, you're going to be outdoors. You one check away from being outdoors. This is why we're telling you we have to do something for self. If you don't trust us, start your account yourself. We're saying, look, prepare yourself. This is survival class. And we're trying to survive the oncoming slaughter that is going to come upon America. America is getting ready to be slaughtered by the God and his angels. There's no doubt about this.
Brother, I'm going to later on next week, Allah willing, I'm going to put up some survival stuff for the home, okay? Inexpensive products that you can have, you should have in your home just in case.
Oh,
okay?
Speaking on that.
We try to make everything real easy.
Uh-huh.
Take the shortcut for people that are not used to this type of language that we're using. You know, they've been put to sleep.
Yeah.
So we're gonna tell you there's some things that you need to have in your house just in case. Okay.
It's gonna get bad. And it was given to us in the temple one time that it might get so bad where you might have to walk 4 deep in the street.
That's right.
You understand what I'm saying? It was given to us in the temple that's how bad it may get. That you might have to walk the streets 4 deep or risk being eaten alive or killed. And today, it seems like that's going on right now. You're scared to walk down the street. Somebody might pop you. You understand?
That's right.
If we don't get us a piece of territory to ourselves, we're going to suffer. And we don't even need to suffer because we got the knowledge of self. But, like I said, my mind is going out. We constantly suffer from all this foolishness. But it's going to come a day when the ones who are warning you won't warn you anymore. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, there's a limit to the blowing of the trumpet. And we at Trumpet of Truth, which is now Hiram's 1555 blog, have a limit to trumpeting the truth of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, just as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had a limit amongst us, a time limit amongst us to teach us this truth. So after the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he said, comes the executioners, right?
That's right.
And they're going to execute all those who do not put into practice Messenger Muhammad's words, teachings, and deeds. On that note, we thank you. We ask you to join us again. Go check our website Sunday night or Monday morning for our new Star and Crescent Report schedule for our Blog Talk Radio show. On that note, we leave out in the name of Allah the same way we came in. We praise Master Farad Muhammad, the true and living God, We thank him forever for the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we pray that he keeps you until we next meet again. We say, As-salamu alaykum.
Allahu Akbar.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button.